AM 950. Matt McNeil here. Hello, members. It's a members-only interview. Glad to have you with us today, and thank you very much for being a member. We so do appreciate you guys doing what you've done to help make sure AM 950 stays on the air through the election cycle this year. We do appreciate that. Make sure you tell your friends to head over to AM 950 Radio, become members themselves, and if you made a one-time donation, by all means, please, if you'd like to, you can make a second donation. Thank you. One of the things we like to offer is special members-only content. Cliff Schechter is kind enough to join us today to talk a little bit about the election cycle and politics in Ohio. Hi, Cliff.
Hey, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, man. Thank you very much. I appreciate the time. You're wildly popular here in Minneapolis. If you ever want to leave Cincinnati, you can always
be huge in Minneapolis. Is that the in Tokyo and Minneapolis?
Well, it's better than like being big in Fargo.
Hey, listen, dude, I love it. No, I've noticed it disproportionately outside of places where I live, you know, like people that either friend me or follow me on Twitter or who I don't know personally seem to be people from the Minneapolis area. So clearly you're reaching lots of people, and I guess I'm not that dumb. Or maybe they like me because I am dumb. Who knows?
Follow Cliff. You got to follow Unprecedented is the podcast he does. It's brilliant. And of course, you can follow him on social media. I'll make sure that, you know, once again, if you have any questions about the podcast or anything like this, give us a call here at the station. We'll let you know how you can find that. But Cliff, I got to bring up Ohio if I can. Did I read correctly? The Speaker of the House, who's a Republican in Ohio, was arrested. There was a raid on his house by the FBI.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Larry Householder, good name. There is a raid on the house of Larry Householder. I don't know if he still holds that house, I guess, after the festivities or the trial. Let's go back about – let me say quickly. He was arrested. A couple of his lobbyists who was close with were also arrested. And this happened, and the former chair of the Ohio Republican Party was arrested. And this was all around a huge scheme and the kind of thing that I have to believe – get me wrong. I'm not in any way justifying anything. They are criminals and should go to prison for a long time. It's just in our system of government and with the Supreme Court, post-Citizens United, that horrific decision that is just – I mean, for what Russia did – in our election in 2016, my God, how many states have probably had money pour in and upend our systems? And this is a Citizens United type story. What happened was that the big electric utility, First Energy, owns two nuclear power plants that really are way past. They've had some of the spottiest. I think between them, they've had two of something like the five worst accidents in this country.
Really?
They're spotty. They should not be in existence anymore, and they are being taken out of existence. But, of course, it being a large energy company, they wanted a bailout of taxpayer money. And so there was a huge ballot campaign in 2018. Let me back up. There was a huge effort to pass this bill, HB 6, in our state legislature, House Bill 6. And what it did was provided a fee on all of our utilities, literally for people like me and everyone else in the state of Ohio to bail these guys out, because they've made some bad decisions and apparently they're turned upside down economically and are going to be in real trouble if they have to deal with these declining, I don't know if I'd call them assets themselves. So they decided they'd dump it all onto us. But if they're going to dump it all onto us, you got to get people to pass the legislation, which would seem ridiculous to essentially pass a tax against all of us and our utility bills to bail out these guys. So how are you going to convince a bunch of lawmakers to do it? Well, you're going to bribe them and you're going to give them huge amounts of campaign funds. And so Larry Householder, who's been known as this sort of – he was the House Speaker in the past and there were ethics concerns then, and there had been investigations, I think, by the FBI that time around. Well, this time around he had a slate of candidates, which is unusual here, even within the Republican Party. He had his people. He opposed sometimes incumbent Republicans and he opposed others and who were challenging his incumbents. And so he was very specific about who he wanted in office, and you might wonder why. And of course, it ended up being around this. And so there was a big battle, internecine battle in the Republican Party in 2018, and he won. And more of his guys were elected, and so he ended up becoming House Speaker. But it was interesting along the way how it seemed like the money flowed very freely, and his people were able to raise lots of money. Well, it turns out that First Energy bribed them to the tune of $60 million. And again, we don't know all of the details yet. And a lot of this was getting money to these lobbyists to then give in donations and to various allies of Larry Householders. Also, they ran money through a C4, you know, which one of these dark money organizations that does not have to tell you who its donors are. So they're a corporate entity. They give money to a C4, and then the C4 goes ahead and essentially launders that money. I mean, I don't know if it falls into the legal definition, but that's really what it is, of giving then campaign contributions so the dark money entity will give campaign contributions to other PACs and groups that will then give them contributions. So what started off as corporate money becomes their money, even though it's illegal to give a corporate donation directly to someone. And I mean, that's, you know, again, like the only thing that's not unique about this is that we hear there's so many damn corrupt Republicans at this point throughout the entire country. And are there some Democrats who are corrupt too? Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah.
But much like on everything else, it seems these days, from crazy ideology to temperamental issues and the rest, it really seems to most often, if we're being generous, be an 80-20 split.
Yes.
From Republican to Democrat.
Oh, and that's generous. That I'll give it. That's being generous.
Well, yeah, and I can prove that because, let's see, the House Speaker before this House Speaker also is currently being investigated by the FBI for misusing campaign funds on travel and to pay off various entities and himself. I mean, this is a running thing here. And if you go back over sort of the last decade and a half, two decades here, sure, there was a former attorney general who was a Democrat who got into scandal and had to resign. That's really the only high profile one I can think of. I can name you multiple Republicans. I mean, in 2000, one of the ways the Democrats took back the House in 2006, and we took back the state of Ohio, was on, you know, there's a big CoinGate scandal here, which may or may not sound familiar to those outside, where a big investor close to Bob Taft, our then governor, took money and invested in rare coins and then stole some of it, lost some of it. I mean, people's pensions is what he was investing here. Bob Ney, our former congressman, who was at the time in league with Jack Abramoff, if you remember that name, who ended up going to prison, a congressman from the state. I mean, this has just been, you know, it's an ongoing theme because they gerrymandered one party rule in this state. And so, you know, no one's held any of these people accountable. And this is what we end up getting. And so, and it's going to affect, we've got two Supreme Court races too, and coming up, and at least one of the judges, Republican judge, whose name is Judy French, has been funded through the Hilt. To the hilt by First Energy. Mm-hmm. So I have a feeling we haven't heard the last of this. They've tried to buy off all sorts of people in this state. But I mean, it's sort of the sick state of our democracy right now.
You'd mentioned the kind of the tentacles off this guy go pretty deep. I mean, is there a chance that you could see this take out? I mean, well, first of all, is he still Speaker, and will it take out other politicians?
So there is, I just, before I came on the show, sort of to be as up to date as possible, they're taking a vote on Thursday about whether to expel him. And you have to believe, I mean, the Republicans are saying they're going to, I mean, because this is what they do, right? I mean, a big scandal like this, they pretend they had no part in it, and they try to pass it off onto somebody else. I mean, it happened, you know, with charter schools a couple years ago here, where all these charter schools were, you know, pocketing funds, not spending it on students, abusing it. You know, every Republican now, from Mike DeWine, who was attorney general, to our current attorney general, David Yost, who was an auditor and got, like, you know, auditor of the year, you know, got some goofy award from this group, that got in big trouble over where these funds were going. You know, he still was elected attorney general, you know, and so they've been able to sort of escape accountability, and that's led to all this happening. And a bunch of these guys, if you're asking me the question about the legislature, I'm not sure what they're going to do, but they're, you know, they were helped. These folks were helped, got help from him financially, from Householder. So the question is, you know, how much of that money was dirty money? Do, you know, is this going to stick to them? I mean, I'm sure Democrats are going to use it in races. They'd be crazy not to. Mm-hmm. I mean, First Energy seems to have bought itself a legislative branch.
Well, and, you know, it leads to the question. I mean, Ohio is one of the most gerrymandered states in the country. 2020 is the election year. That's generally when the census sets the next crew that's going to set the boundaries of these issues. How much trouble is the Republican Party in Ohio in? Could they end up losing the ability to stop the Democrats from fixing the gerrymandering they've done?
They could. There's two things going on that are both big. First of all, they gerrymandered themselves in a state where in 2018, again, they won the state. You know, this is a basically a slight lean Republican state, if we're being honest. They won the overall, if you add up all the state legislative districts, they won that vote by only 1 point in 2018, the Republicans did, and they won if you add up all the congressional vote, they won that by 2 points. So would you think that when I'm telling you that would lead to one entity having literally three quarters of the congressional seats the way they do and a supermajority in the state house? Well, that's what they have, even when the voting is like that. So they could lose enough seats where they lose their supermajority, and even further than that. I mean, I don't think it's possible for us to win back a majority, but I guess you never know. And we could get – so certainly they could lose a supermajority, which affects how the census. But the other big one, and the one I mentioned before, is there's two Supreme Court races. We won both of those races in 2018. If we win them again this year, the Supreme Court races, we will then have a 4-3 majority. And the state Supreme Court has been an appendage of the Republican Party for about 25 years now. And this would be the first time we had a majority, you know, I mean, again, since probably the 90s. I'd have to look to see when on that court. So that would change everything, because any outrageous gerrymandering they put forward, the state Supreme Court could just overturn it and say, this is ridiculous, come back to us with something that's fair. We did also previously pass legislation to make it a much fairer process. Republicans felt pressure to do it because there was so much noise about the gerrymandering, and they figured that they'd join in and pass something that was less egregious than what we might put on the ballot. So the minority party already will have increased say. They will not be able to fully gerrymander without at least some say of the minority party. So already, you know, with changing trends and that kind of thing, they already weren't going to be able to do it in 2020 to the extent they did in 2010. But, you know, getting these two Supreme Court seats would change everything.
Final question yeah. I want to ask you really quick, and this regards the national race with Trump. I mean, if you look around the country, Arizona, that's looking like it's going to be a Democratic state. Texas is on the border. It's right on the knife's edge right there, but it's very likely that could end up going for Biden. Florida almost looks like it's a lost cause for the Republicans at this point. You know, and you look at Georgia, you look at even places like Utah, but Ohio has seemed to have been holding, you know, really kind of on this. And as a matter of fact, I was looking at electoral vote, and it seems like the latest polling has moved back from Biden towards Trump. Why do you think Ohio still has a chance of going with Trump?
Well, I mean, we are, you know, demographics matter. Ohio is an older state than on average. It is a whiter state than on average. We're representative fairly well with a certain minority. Like we actually have a fairly representative African-American population. We are way under what our count, you know, the average state has in terms of per capita Latina residents. And that's changing somewhat. There are more folks coming here, but in the past, so having a more older, whiter, lacking a college degree, we also have these are some of Trump's core groups. Yeah. But, you know, the thing that's changed that's made up for that is they're now losing what used to be suburban Republicans. I mean, we call them, they're mostly referred to here as the three C's, you know, Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati, are the three biggest cities, but there's some smaller ones even too, Akron, Dayton, you know, that also are seeing their suburbs turn from Republican to Democratic. So we're one of those states that I would say is you name some other ones where they've got these huge growing populations, Texas. We're one of those that I would say is in a bit of a holding pattern, and this may be obnoxious to say, but I don't know how else to put it. I mean, I'm putting this in demographic terms. I'm not sitting here celebrating, you know, death. But if we're being honest, the rural areas are shrinking. Mm-hmm. They're getting older. They're dying out. And frankly, their people are not, you know, the young people are not staying there. Well, there are certain states where that doesn't matter because all they are rural states, right? Oklahoma or South Dakota or, you know, those kinds of states. Ohio is a state where we haven't had the city to offset the rural.
in recent years. The Suburban, though, is helping us. That's how we won those two state Supreme Court seats. That's how we won. Sherrod Brown was reelected, our U.S. Senator. But that's changing more in our direction. But within 5 to 10 years, these rural areas disappear, and as the suburbs of Cincinnati and Cleveland and Columbus and others grow, we will likely go from being a swing state that's lean red to a swing state that's lean blue. If you understand what I'm saying here, and, you know, like, we have the other population to make up for where it's being lost, whereas you wouldn't in completely rural states. So we're not Georgia or whatever yet, but I feel like we're in a bit of a holding pattern to become that.
Well, and it doesn't help the Republicans in the state to have Trump say, hey, all the old people need to die off so we can have the Arby's open, as well as also, I mean, there are direct campaign promises from 2016 Trump said about Ohio, which he's not fulfilled. And I imagine that's starting to rub people the wrong way, too.
Well, I think you're hitting exactly right. I mean, because now he's starting to lose. The reason why in most polls that have come out, Biden has been ahead here from anywhere from three to 5 points. You have to remember right now, Trump has the second largest amount of money of any state reserved in Ohio after Florida. There's a reason for that, because right now, if the election were held today, I would tell you that Biden would win. Now, I don't know if that's the situation in a couple of months, because, again, Trump's dropping something like $18 million here. And the Biden campaign may just not respond because they don't need Ohio, or they may respond in some fashion that's not on that level. And then the question is who, you know, the Lincoln Project guys have said they're coming in here. I mean, that's going to be the question. You know, who's coming in here, and if they're going to, because if Trump has the airwaves to himself, that will be difficult to counter the lies if we don't have anything up there. But otherwise, I would tell you, you know, the equilibrium right now, they've lost this state. Mm-hmm. You know, if the money spent were equal, if Democrats were targeting this state in a manner in which they are targeting Georgia, or not even Georgia, but let's say the core ones, Pennsylvania or Arizona right now, then I'd almost guarantee you that Joe Biden would win. So we'll see what happens. But there's no doubt that they've started to lose, certainly women without a college degree in larger numbers. They're losing farmers in the western part of the state because this trade war has devastated them. They're losing workers, as you pointed out, because he told everybody to buy a house and don't worry, stay. Lordstown plant's going to be there. And, of course, that was just the same kinds of lies as, you know, the New York Yankees asking him to throw out the first pitch, which it turns out also never happened, in about 10,000 other things that he's made up. And so these people decided to stay and invested in staying in this area based on his con. They have no job now, so he's losing people in that area. So you're right, these trends are happening, and he's losing the Republican. I mean, the once moderate Republican suburbs where I am here in Cincinnati, where with, you know, Procter & Gamble type executives, he's losing all of that. So, I mean, you know, I would tell you right now, I'm not sure what's going to happen in Ohio, only because the Trump people are spending so much money here that they may hold on to it by 2 or 3 points because of what they put into it. But this definitely is a swing state. And as I said, you know, during normal times, I'd call it slightly red, you know, swing state, but I'm not sure after Trump's done and after we've had two consecutive Republican House speakers, you know, investigated, indicted. I don't know if it's going to remain that way. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens from here on, because yes, I could see them losing it. And over the next couple of years, demographically, as the rural areas shrink and as they lose more of the suburbs, I could see us coming back and actually being in a controlling position here.
Cliff Schechter, once again, Unprecedented is the podcast. You can find it at Patreon. I highly recommend you subscribe to that. Go follow Cliff on social media as well. It's a hoot. He gives a lot of great insight throughout the day, every day. He's one of the sane islands on the internet. So please go find Cliff.
I try.
Go there.
I don't always succeed, folks. He's bragging too much, but I try.
Cliff Schechter, thank you very much. Matt McNeil, thanks once again, members. We do appreciate it. From everyone here at AM 950, thank you from the bottom of our hearts.